Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Would not mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John in chapter number 17. The Gospel record of John in chapter number 17. We're going through the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus prayed hours before being arrested, being put on a false trial, being sent to the cross of Calvary where he died for your sins and mine. That during this time, as we've already been prepping up, you know what Jesus is doing? He's preparing before the battle, something we've already been speaking about. That the battle of not his will, but God's will. When was that won? It is not won at the cross. It is won here in the Garden of Gethsemane. That he is praying for the victories beforehand. He's praying before that battle hits, that God would win the victory. And I'm thankful that he's not just praying for himself, but he is praying for us. As we've already been covering much of the chapter, let's jump in at the Gospel record of John 17. And if you don't mind, start with me in verse number 17. John 17, 17. John 17, 17, the Bible says this, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me unto the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice them, if you don't mind, as we see this in verse number 17. It says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Then notice again in verse 19, it repeats that same idea, "Sanctified through truth." And with this, we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he is praying for our sanctification. We see this wonderful prayer as Jesus is praying for us for sanctification. Now, with this, it's probably good that we define our terms, try to make sure that we're trying to be on the same page. The word sanctification is a big, fancy, theological word. But we could say that and not know what it means and then try to guess, try to apply. But it lacks depth if we don't understand it. The word sanctification in its basic sense carries the idea to be set apart for a use. Set apart for a use. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to set us apart. In fact, we're going to study this in specifically, but how does he sanctify us? He says in verse number 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth," or "through thy truth, thy word is truth." God is going to sanctify us and separate us apart through the Word, through His Son, through His Holy Spirit. God wants us to be set apart. Now, let's just start at the beginning. The idea is that when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, meaning that we come to the place where we realize that we are sinners. And because of our sins, that we've violated God's law and we're deserving of God's wrath, punishment. We deserve an awful place called hell. But then we come to the place where we realize that Jesus died for us, and I personally accept that free gift that Jesus gave to us. When that happens, I become born again. The Bible makes that clear in John chapter number 3. Remember, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, "Verily, verily," which means truly, truly, "verily, verily, ye must be born again." There's no other option. Ye must be born again. Well, Nicodemus, who was the religious ruler talking with Jesus, scratched his old silver head and said, "I don't get it. It's not like I could crawl back into mom again. How does this work?" And Jesus explains that you have to have two births. And just as real as your first physical birth was, your spiritual birth is just as real. How do I get this spiritual birth? By realizing you are a sinner and you violated God's law. You deserve hell. But Jesus paid the price for you and you personally accept the terms. When that happens and you accept God's terms, the Holy Spirit, who is God, comes to live inside of me. And he makes me a new person. I become what the Bible says, born again. I have a second birth. You understand that to go to heaven, it doesn't mean that you're religious. It doesn't mean that you belong part of a denomination. It doesn't mean that you own a Bible. To be born again means I've come to the place where I've accepted God's terms, knowing I deserve hell, and Jesus saved me, and something real happened that day, the day that I met Jesus. I become a new person. The Holy Spirit, who's God, lives inside of me. Now, why does God save you? Well, he saved you for a purpose. The Bible talks about in Philippians chapter number 2 that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, does that verse mean that I'm trying to figure out, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? No, that's not what it's talking about at all. The Bible's clear that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It says that we know, the Bible says that we can know that we know that we know that we're going to heaven. So it's not asking, are you saved or not? But when it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, it carries the idea, why are you saved? There is a reason why God saved you. You were not saved by accident. You were not created by accident. You may have been a surprise to your mom and dad, but you are not a surprise to your heavenly Father. He created you with purpose. There was something he had in mind when he created you. And then when he reached out and he did the work to get a soul winner, to give you a tract, to tell you the gospel, to invite you to church, to do something, he did the work to draw you to a place where you could hear the gospel and then save you. He did not put in all of that work for nothing. There was a reason why he saved you. Now that we are saved, he wants us to do his purpose. But we have to be usable first. The process of becoming usable is what we call sanctification, of bringing us to the place to be set apart for God's use. This is important. An illustration that very aptly shows this is a bartender who was working at a bar. And he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He realized that he was a sinner and realized that he had violated God's law and he deserved to go to hell. Someone explained to him that Jesus paid the price for him and he accepted Jesus Christ in his terms. When that happened, the bartender realized he could not go back to the bar and work. It would not be pleasing to the Lord. And so he left working the bar scene and went and did something else. However, he grabbed one of the tables and purchased them from the owner and brought it home. And he took the table that was all graffitied up and written on and had stains of alcohol. And he took it and he sanded it down. He restained it. He repurposed it. And then he used it as a dining room table for him and his family to sit at. That bar table had a bad use at the very beginning. But then it was repurposed, reset apart for a new use, for a new purpose. That is sanctification. That God is pulling us apart and bringing us, setting us apart from the world for a new purpose. With that in mind, let's just dive in a little bit more and explain as the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for our sanctification. What does that mean and what does it look like? Why would the Lord pray for our sanctification? To discover the meaning of sanctification, we have to look at it and understand what God has trying to separate us to himself. We're not the people that we used to be. We are now different. Remember, we make a big emphasis that being and living the Christian life is not a better life. It is a different life. And that we are different. We have different goals, different motives, different desires. And that's because God has set us apart. Now, in the Bible, there are three tenses of sanctification. What's a tense? Well, in English, we have three tenses, past, present, and future. Well, those three tenses are applied to sanctification. So in the past, Jesus saved us from the penalty of sin. I no longer owe God a price for my sin anymore because I've been saved. He set me apart from that punishment I owed him. He did that the moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have been saved. Currently, present tense, I am being saved from the power of sin. That just because I'm a Christian now doesn't mean that I cannot sin. I can still sin, and most of you figured that out, that after you accepted Christ as your Savior, you could still sin. But what God is doing is that sin no longer has dominion over us. We no longer have to sin. And God is working in our life to draw us closer and closer to him so we sin less and less, so we get further away from sinning. Then in the future, he will save me from the presence of sin. That one day I'll get a brand new redeemed body that will no longer be able to sin against God anymore. Won't that be wonderful? So there are three tenses of sanctification. In the past, I was saved from the penalty of sin. Currently, present tense, God is saving me from the power of sin. And in the future, I'll be saved from the presence of sin. Well, in the past and the future, we have no control over. But what is happening now is that we need to see what God is doing currently, present tense. He is working and doing things in my life to sanctify me, to set me apart wholly to him for his use. Does that make sense? God is doing a work. We're thankful that God is doing a work. We know that right now, sin is still a temptation for us. But because we're a Christian, you know what God has given to us? A way of escape. Let me just read this to you, if you don't mind. It's 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Often mismanaged verse, but the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13. He says, "There hath no temptation taken to you as such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able." Now, unfortunately, most people put a period there. And they'll try to teach that God will not give me more than I can handle. Yeah. That is not what this verse says. Because the verse goes on. It is not a period there. But there is no temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. How do we be able to bear it? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ. We always have a way of escape by saying, "Lord, keep me from this. I want to sin. I need your help to keep me from this sin." The way of escape is always Jesus. I don't have to sin. I could run to Jesus at any time and he could win the victory for me. And the more that I learn how to depend upon the Lord, the less that I will be in sin present tense. There's a way of escape. Now notice, this does not say that in order to keep from sin, I close my eyes and come on, don't sin, don't sin, come on, because you're going to find that doesn't work. The idea here is not, well, you trust in yourself and you pull out the inner you. Because guess what? The inner you is the problem. Amen. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. I cannot keep myself from sin. Do you know why so many people struggle with sin? Because they try to do it themselves. And they don't have victory in the areas they should be having victory. How do I have victory over sin if it dominates, if I'm addicted to it, if it just permeates my mind? The way of escape is always the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I'm going to fail. Lord, you have to help me. I run to him with tears in my eyes if I have to, knowing how close I am to fail. Have you noticed that most of your sin, God puts obstacles in your way, and we have to climb over those obstacles to get to that sin? All of those obstacles are doing is trying to get our attention and let you know that, hey, this is a good place to stop and say, get help. Before you take another step, go get some help. You can't do it yourself, but God can. That's the great hope. You keep trying to do it yourself, you're going to get more and more discouraged and disappointed. But God is your way of escape. Going to him. Whenever we are living in defeat and living in sin, it's because we haven't been running to him. As we turn back to John 17, let's now see the means of sanctification. We saw the meaning of sanctification being pulled apart for God's use, and that God wants to keep us from the power of sin, present tense. He is working in our life to bring us further and further away from sin. So how does he do that? How does he continually be working on us on a daily basis to keep us from sin? Well, I'm thankful that you asked, because the Lord gives us the answer. Notice back with me in John 17. And notice with me in verse 17. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. Notice verse 19 to start off with. I sanctify myself. You know what God is doing? Is he is praying for you. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to work in your life to draw you, to make you a different person. In fact, notice with me in the gospel record of John chapter 1. I want to remind you who Jesus Christ is. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, Jesus is full of truth. And we are sanctified by thy truth. What is the one process that we're being sanctified? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's praying for you. He's doing things in your life. He's drawing you close. He's doing things because he wants you set apart from sin. He wants to save you from the power of sin. He's working on your life so that way you're drawn closer to him, so he can repurpose and reuse your life. Jesus is at work. In fact, notice with me the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter number 1. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. Good. We're turning back to John 17 after this. Colossians 1, and notice with me in verse number 27. Colossians 1, 27, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what your hope is? Christ in you. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. Just like you cannot be saved and become a Christian without Christ, you can't live the Christian life without Christ. What is the secret? Christ. running to him, depending upon him, letting him do his work. It is Christ living in me. And the more that I allow him to live, the more control I yield to him, the more I depend upon him, the more he will keep me from sin, this process of sanctification, of being set apart for his use. So the first means of sanctification is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ living in me. The truth, and thy truth is sanctifying us. We also see something else of what God is doing to help sanctify us, another means of sanctification, which is the Holy Spirit. Notice with me in John 16. John 16, as we're looking at the gospel record of John 17, just one page back for most of us. John 16, notice with me verse number 12. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, remember we're sanctified by truth, we know that Jesus is truth and the Holy Spirit is truth. Howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hear, he will speak, and he will show you things to come. You understand, the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. And it is by truth we are sanctified, set apart. So as we begin to yield ourselves and be able to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit will guide us to say, this is the path to go. This is the truth. You say, how does this work? Well, one way it works is through preaching. That is, the preacher opens up the Bible and declares the truth. The Holy Spirit who's inside of you says, that's true. That's true. Do that. Follow that. That's for you. And you obey that. God guides you in that manner. And guess what? He is working in the sanctification process of setting you apart, keeping you from sin, setting you apart to God for his use. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. So, what are the means of sanctification? First, Jesus, because Jesus is full of grace and truth. Jesus guides us in all truth. He gives us the way of escape. It's Christ living in me. The Holy Spirit is one of the means of sanctification, that the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. He tells us which way to go. The Holy Spirit backs up the messages. He will say, go this way. This is for you. This is what you need to do. And as you yield yourself and obey and listen to that still small voice, he will guide you in the way that you ought to go to keep you from sin and keep you and bring you to the place where you're set apart for God for his use. There's a third manner that God uses for sanctification. Notice again in verse 14, John 17, 17. Notice he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. May I show you something interesting there? It did not say thy word is true, though we know the Bible is true. It says thy word is truth. And it is truth that sanctifies us, not just things that are true. We need the truth. And God's word is the truth. It tells us what is real, tells us what is there. That's why we say the greatest thing you could do on a daily basis is to be in the word of God for yourself. Why? Because the word washes us. It sanctifies us. The more that you spend time in God's word, the more that God is going to do something to wash you clean, to keep you from sin, and to set you apart for God's use. Thy word is truth. That is why when you find yourself where you haven't read your Bible for a few days, you find yourself more vulnerable. You find yourself less dependent on God. You find yourself where your flesh is stronger. You must be in God's word, because God's word is truth. Someone who wants to set themselves apart and really be used of God, you need more Bible. There is no such thing as a servant of God who survives on one chapter a day. No such thing. Why? Because we can't be set apart for God's use. You said, well, I really want to be used of God. Get more Bible. Get more Bible. You said, well, this sounds simple. Yes. We make things complicated. We think that there's got to be some big process to it. If we were to boil this process down, what would it be? Depending on God.
Amen.
It's not me. I can't make myself a servant of God. I can't make myself anything. I can't even make myself stop sinning. I must be dependent upon God. Christ living in me. He is truth. The Holy Spirit who lives in me because I've been born again, shall guide me in all truth. And thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy word. The word of God is what we need. We are being sanctified. We know that one day our sanctification will be complete and I will be sinless when I have a brand new body. What does that mean? It means until I'm dead and get my brand new body, I'm still capable of sinning. What does that mean? It means I need to be in my word until I die. I cannot depend upon myself. God wants to use you, and he has a purpose for you. May I remind you that what is the purpose of sanctification? We know that sanctification is to be set apart. But there's that last part, for God's use. Notice with me the wording of John 17 and verse number 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. So notice, God sent Jesus, and Jesus sends us. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in John chapter 20. So if God was clear, that what happens is that God sent Jesus, and Jesus sent us. For what reason? For what purpose? Notice with me, John 20, we see that same wording. Noticing that sanctification and service go hand in hand. You cannot serve God in your own strength. You cannot do God's work. You must be set apart for God's use and dependent upon God and let God do his own work through you. John 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again. Notice that word again. Again. Peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. By the way, this is what we would call one of the elements of the Great Commission. God is sending us with the same authority God sent Jesus to go reach sinners. With that same authority, he is sending us to go reach sinners. The same mission that Christ was sent down is now our mission. God sent Jesus, and Jesus is sending us to continue his work. What was the whole mission of Jesus? The gospel record of Luke says it very clearly. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. One job. One job. The Great Commission, which can be summarized in reaching and teaching. One job. Why does God set me apart? Not so I can become a better singer. Why does God set me apart for his use? Not so I could be on television and smile. Why does God set me apart for his use? Not just to have more knowledge. Why does God set me apart for his use? To carry out the same mission Jesus was sent down to do. To seek and to save that which was lost. You know what that means? So many times we try to get people to go soul winning without first spending time to be sanctified. Us being set apart for God's use. No wonder Jesus said in the gospel record of Matthew, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, in that whole process, our purpose is not fishing for men. It's following Christ. As I follow Christ, he sanctifies me. He sets me apart for his use. I depend upon him, and he uses me to go fish for men. It's all about depending on God. It is not us. But this is what Jesus is praying about. If we want victory in our Christian life, it's depending on him, not me. Letting God get his own work accomplished. God has a desire to use us. We know that God is trying to do a work. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, sanctify you wholly. Sanctify you wholly. By the way, in that same passage, sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. We're to be sanctified in our spirit, which is our communion with God. We're to be sanctified in our soul, which is made up of will, intellect, and emotion. You know, you are to be sanctified, set apart in how you think. You are to be set apart for God's use in how you feel, and set apart for how you make decisions, set apart for God's use. How does that process do? God's word is truth, letting God do a work. And with that, God's setting us apart, but God wants us to spend time with him. As we spend time with him, we learn more about him. He keeps us from sin, this process of sanctification. So with this, are you still struggling with sins? I know in a sense we will all do that, but there's an open secret of victory of putting our dependence on God, letting him do a work, understanding he's got a reason why he saved me, putting myself into his hands so he can mold me and make me into the instrument he wants to be. He sanctifies me through his Son. He sanctifies me through the Holy Spirit, and he sanctifies me through his word. I cannot live the Christian life without Christ. We need to stop trying. Let God get the victories and make you into something, an instrument into his hands that he could use for his glory, for his honor. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.